Thank you for listening to this message from Greenwood Community Church of the Nazarene. It is our prayer that God would speak to you in a real way through His Word. To learn more about our ministry, or to connect with us, go to www.gcnaz.church or search for Community Naz on Facebook. Now, let's dive into God's Word today.
How many of you remember the TV show Fear Factor? Joe Rogan up there? Yeah. It was on Fox, I think. It was an awesome TV show, right? They had these stunts, these movie stunts that they would make average people do these things, coming out, jumping out of helicopters and stuff. And I always thought, man, this is ridiculous. There were these difficult and amazing stunts that just these average people would do, and I'm probably less than average, so I couldn't do what they're doing. Maybe for you, it was you saw or heard someone singing, and you're like, man, I wish I could sing like that. Or maybe it was somebody who was a teacher of yours, whether in church or in school, and you thought, man, they're a great teacher. I wish I could teach like they teach. Or maybe it was somebody you saw build something or make something with their hands. I should have brought him up here with me, but Kevin Ely, where are you at? Oh, he's out there today. That figures. Good, I'll talk to him. Talk about him when he's not here. If you haven't been following Kevin on Facebook, Kevin really loves woodworking and specifically turning wood on a lathe. And he makes some of the most beautiful things that I've ever seen. Bowls, cups, vases. And he's just so good at it. He actually made me a communion set for weddings and things that is just absolutely beautiful. And I say to myself, I could never do that. Like, that takes a lot of patience, which I don't have. Maybe it was somebody who in your life is just a great leader, and you're like, man, I wish I had the leadership skill that that person has. It's easy to compare ourselves to others and feel like what we have to offer is not enough, right? Many of us have felt that way at times. I've been there. I've wondered if what I bring to the table as a pastor or as a father or as a husband is enough. How many of you would say that you are your own harshest critic? I'm very critical of myself. People could say the harshest things to me, and it's probably not as harsh as what I've thought about myself. But here's the truth this morning. I'm going to give it to you right at the beginning. Your gifts are not about your greatness. They're about God's glory. Your talents, your gifts that God gives you is not for you to be great. It's for Him to be great. It's for Him to show what He's capable of. We live in a world that celebrates talent, but often in a way that puts the spotlight on the individual, right? Social media encourages us to brand ourselves, to curate our image. Be honest, how many of you have used filters on your images before? Oh, there's some less than honesty going on in this room. I guarantee there are teenagers who have used filters on their stuff before. There we go. Thank you, Elena. Thank you. How many of you have like the birds and stuff? Like, there's all kinds of different ones. How many of you have ever used? How many of you have iPhones? Let me just ask that. iPhones. Okay. How many of you have ever used like the thing that the AI deal that puts like a robot on your face and talks? You can talk. You know what I'm talking about? Those are the best. If you haven't tried those, you should try them. They're really fun, especially with your little kids. The culture encourages narcissism and selfish ambition, doesn't it? The thing is, in the kingdom of God, talents are not for self-promotion. They're for service to God and God's people. The great news is that we all have something to offer. Every single one of us has something to offer for God's kingdom. God has uniquely gifted each of us, not just for our benefit, but for the benefit of others and the glory of God. Just as we spoke about last week with our time, we are to steward our talents just like we steward our time. We are to use our talents for God's glory and not for our own. If you have your Bibles, open them to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. It's going to be on the screen if you don't have it. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Here, Peter is telling us that our talents are gifts from God and that we are stewards of those gifts. We don't own them. We're not the source of them. No, instead, we manage them for a purpose. And that purpose is to serve God and to serve others. I'm going to say that a lot this morning. We sometimes want to use our gifts to make ourselves feel better or look better, don't we? We want people to see us do things. Jesus has a lot to say on this issue, and I had lots of good choices to use for this week, but I chose Matthew chapter 25, and it's the parable of the talents. Now, the thing about this passage, before we read it, the parable of the talents is actually about money. And so in the NIV version, you'll hear the phrase bags of gold. But in like the KJV, for instance, you'll see the word talent used, because talent was the literal name of the type of money. And while this is talking specifically about money, this could have been used next week, it actually applies to the way that we steward our actual talents and gifts as well. This passage is actually really great. It could have been used last week for time. It can be used in the exact same way. And Jesus is speaking here. So here we go. Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30. It says this. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one, he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. So how many bags do we have now? Math class. 14. Okay, good. We had how many? 7. Now we have? So the first two guys have doubled the master's money. They're doing a good job here, right? Verse 18. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his pastor's money. You know, every time I practice this, that's what came out. Every time, and I don't know why. It just, his master's money. I promise you, it says master's. I didn't change it. It just, after a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. Verse 20. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other five, so 10. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. So he hands the one bag back. Listen to this. His master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." That's the end of the message. Have a good day. Don't you feel encouraged this morning? Whew! Jesus is harsh here, isn't he? This is a really harsh passage. Worthless servant. Lazy. Wicked. Let's recap. A master entrusts his servants with different amounts of money. Two of them invest and multiply what they've been given. One buries it in the ground. When the master returns, he rewards the faithful stewards and rebukes the one who did nothing. Why didn't the third servant invest what he'd been given? He was afraid. He was afraid of losing it or misusing it. Ironically, he was misusing it by not using it. I don't mean to be harsh. I never mean to be harsh, honestly. But if you have a talent that God can use for his kingdom, which is all of our talents, and you come to church and you're a faithful believer, but you're not using that talent, this passage is talking about you. There is no time in our life as believers where we get to just sit and do nothing for God and just take in. That's not how this works. You will find that nowhere in Scripture. You are to be faithful and steward the gifts that God has given you because he has kingdom work that needs to be done. Amen? Jesus is teaching us that God expects us to use what we've been given. He's not comparing us to each other. He's asking us to be faithful with what we have. You notice all three were given different amounts of money. Why? What was it based on? Their abilities. All of our singers and musicians have different talent levels, right? All of them. But they use the talent level that they have for God's glory and to lead us in worship each week. He's going to hate that I'm going to say this. Dan is one of the most talented musicians I've ever known. He can play multiple instruments. He picks all of our music. If you guys saw the folders that I get to see, some of them are over there, him redoing the music so that it fits how we're going to do the song. Like you guys never see all that stuff. I'm not the musician that Dan is, and that's okay. That's okay. I would love to sing like Torrin Wells. Guess what? I can't, and I'm never gonna, and that's okay. It's not about comparing us to others. No person is more important. Their gifts are no more important than anybody else's gifts. The person who takes out the trash at the church is just as important as the person who preaches every Sunday. In some ways, I would say more important because they're doing it in the shadows where no one sees them, no one gives them recognition. God expects us to use what he gives us to build his kingdom. So, Pastor, how do we steward our talents well? Like last week, I have 5 simple things we can do to begin stewarding our talents well. And if you've got your bulletins, the notes are right there. Number 1, identify your gifts. Again, I don't mean to be harsh. Not everybody's talented enough to be on this stage leading us in worship. Not everybody who picks up a guitar can play it. Not everybody who tries to pound the keys on the piano is good at it. This is me playing piano. I'm getting the nose. Don't do it. This is my level of piano playing, okay? That's it. That's my piano playing ability, all right? At no time is Dan going to say, hey, pastor, go play the piano for us. Because Dan knows that would be a train wreck. Because I would just sit there. Right? Dan, this is going to make you laugh. A few weeks ago, he had picked some hymns that we did for Christmas. And Jimmy wasn't able to be here that Sunday, so I was asked to play bass. And Dan was laughing at me because I was sitting at the bass during rehearsal, and I'm looking at the chord chart, and I look at Dan, and I'm like, nope, can't play it. It was like one note, and I'm like, that's his job, not my job. I'll play the ones that I can play. That's just how it is. You have to identify what you're good at. That's important. You can have a passion for something and not be good at it, amen? Here's another example. I would love to be Mendoza. Like, I would love to be a Heisman-winning quarterback. That just wasn't in the cards. I have a passion for football. Anyone who knows me knows I love football. It's one of my favorite sports, if not my favorite. I was never going to be a Heisman-level quarterback. I couldn't even start on the freshman B team. That's how bad I am. I was the backup for the freshman B team, which means you're like the 4th or 5th quarterback. They probably would have picked a wide receiver before me. So there's 3 questions to help you identify your gifts. First, what are you good at? Second, what do others affirm in you? That's an important question. What do people see in you that you don't necessarily see in yourself? Pastor Rachel, when I first suggested that she sing, or preach rather, both Randall and I told her, you're capable. She didn't see it in herself, did she? Took her a while, didn't it, Randall? I knew she was capable. She needed to know she was capable. The third question, what brings you joy when you do it? Now, I'll warn you, don't take one of those questions and let that be the answer for you. You have to take all 3. What are you good at? What do others affirm in you? And what brings you joy when you do it? Because any of those on their own aren't good enough to answer the question, what are your gifts? You have to have all 3. Number 2, use your gifts to serve others. This kind of goes without saying. What God has gifted you with, you use to build his kingdom. Don't wait for a stage or a spotlight. Start where you are. Start in your church. Start in your home. Start at your schools. Start in our community. Number 3, stop comparing yourself to others. Stop. It's not healthy. It's not good. God didn't give you someone else's talents. He gave you yours. Faithfulness matters more than flashiness. Be faithful to what God has given you and use it well. Number 4, grow your gifts. When I was a worship pastor, one of the things that always frustrated me were people who you could clearly tell had talent, whether singing or playing an instrument, and never ever practiced. Right, Dan? Because they're not capitalizing on what God has given them. They come up and they're unprepared and not ready to lead worship because they didn't practice. They're not utilizing the gifts that God has given them. I am maximizing everything I got when I preach. I'm ordained. I don't have to take any classes. I'm taking a preaching class right now. Why? Because I want to maximize my ability to speak to you. I want to be the best I can be for you. I'm growing my gift. We all should be doing the same. Be a good steward by developing your skills. Read, train, practice. This isn't said enough in the church. Excellence honors God. Excellence honors God. Mediocrity is not godly. When you're not trying, that's not honoring God. When you're just kind of going through the motions, that's not honoring God. We should always strive to do our best with what God gives us. Now, sometimes the truth is our best won't be good enough, right? I've shared my faith with my brother. My parents have shared their faith with my brother. He still doesn't believe. He still has turned his back on Christ. Does that mean we didn't do the right thing and we're not good enough? No, it means that he hasn't turned to Christ. That's his choice, unfortunately, right? Number five, give God the glory. One of the things that has always been hard for me from the time that I started as a worship pastor, when people started coming up to me and saying, "Pastor, you sang really well today," or "You played the guitar really well," or "The worship was amazing, you did such a good job," I always have a hard time with that because it's not about me. I don't care. Like, I don't care if I did a good job or not. As long as he's getting the glory, I don't care. But I try to be polite and respect. "Thank you. I appreciate that. I'm doing my best. I appreciate that." But the results aren't my responsibility. They're his. The results go to him ultimately, right? Same is true for us. If the kids' ministry is growing, is that because Pastor Rachel is just the greatest children's pastor ever? No, it's because God's growing our ministry because we're being faithful to what he's asked us to do. And he's producing the results. Amen? Same thing with our student ministry, quizzing, our adult ministries, all of it. It's about his glory. As we talked about last week, whatever you do, do it in a way that points people to Jesus, not to yourself. Do it in a way that honors God. Everything we do is meant to be worship to the King. Imagine if all of us in the church, look around, every single person in this room, whether you're a kid, whether you're a teenager, whether you're an adult, all of us, if we used our gifts, not just for applause, not just for recognition, but for kingdom impact, imagine what God would do or could do through us. Imagine if our church was a place where each person saw their role as vital to God's mission. I'm confident in saying that this is the kind of church that God is calling us to be. He wants us to be a place where each person that's in this room, those who are serving with our kids now, if we are all using our gifts for his glory, God can do big things through this church. Amen? Do you believe that? You with me this morning? Let's not bury or hide our gifts. Let's invest them. Invest them in people. Invest them in ministry. And more importantly, invest them in the kingdom of God. There are multiple areas within our church and ministries in our community that you can get involved in. I'm going to plug something that we've been plugging for months and months and months. Our kids' ministry needs help. Pastor Rachel needs your help. And I'm going to challenge you, no matter what age you are, adults, you can still be relevant and can still speak to our kids. I told this story on Wednesday night to our Wednesday night adult group. When I was a kid, and I went to VBS, which back then it was during the week, during like when my parents were working, it was a great babysitting tool for my parents, because it was on my block, and I couldn't leave the block, so I could walk around the block to go to the church, the little white church. Every single volunteer, with almost no exceptions, were gray or white-haired. Or some had blue hair, probably. And you know what? That set the foundation. That laid the foundation for me to come to know Jesus. I still remember going to VBS as a kid. It mattered to me. So if you're over 50 and you think, I'm not relevant to kids, that's hogwash. You are relevant to our children. You know what's relevant to our kids? Being loved by you. My kids, particularly Clara, speaks about the Spruels. Kenny and I talked about that this week. Clara loves Bad Kenny. She likes Betsy more, but that's neither here nor there. She loves you guys. You're not my age. You're not her parents' age. But they can be relevant to kids. My daughter loves Ginny and Norma. Loves her. Is she sitting back there now? Oh, she's over there. That's right. Duh. She loves sitting with Ginny. Ginny is grandma's age. Folks, it doesn't matter what your age. It doesn't matter what your abilities are. Use them for the kingdom. God can do big things through our church if we're all faithful with what God gives us. Our student ministry is kicking. Our worship ministry. Hey, we need more. The more the merrier, right, Dan? More the merrier up here. Right, Rosemary? We could always use more. More singers, more instrumentalists, some people who play guitar. I'm not calling you out, Wells. I'm just kidding. I guess I kind of did, but not in a bad way. We miss you. Now, we all have something to offer, right? So let's do it. We need more teachers for adults. If you're interested in leading a Bible study or a small group, talk to me and Wendy. We have places where you can serve, places we'd like for somebody to step up and serve. I can't do all of them. Me and Chris can't do it all, right? So the more the merrier. Folks, I believe God is moving. Before Charlie left and Carol moved, one of the things that Charlie said is, I don't understand how people could look around this church and not see God's movement. Because Charlie can see it. He saw it when he came back just a few weeks ago. He sees God at work. Do you perceive it? Do you see him moving? Let's jump on the train together and serve God and build his kingdom together as one body, one church. Remember, as I said at the beginning, your gifts are not about your greatness, but about God's glory. Let's steward our talents well by identifying them, using them to serve, avoiding comparison with other people, growing those gifts, and then pointing it all to the glory of God. Let it begin with me. Let it begin with you. Let it begin with us.